Good evening. Want to wish everybody a Gemar Chesima Tova, and I hope we had a productive Rosh Hashanah. The parasha this week, Hazinu, and as a prelude to Yom Kippur, is so appropriate, it's uncanny. And I believe probably that is why we might ask the question why we wait till the end of Sukkot to finish the Torah, to finish reading all the parshas of the Torah and begin anew on Simchas Torah, because the reality is, if we say as Rosh Hashanah, psychologically we would think at Rosh Hashanah we should begin with Bereishis every year, but the last few parshas of the Torah that we read in Chodesh Elul is very appropriate. And what I mean by that is, I titled tonight's Sheer Potential. And what I mean is the very interesting fact of the fact that we're dealing with the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And among all the things that happen in this parasha, we mentioned in previous years that initially Moshe thought, when he wrote as Kol Divrei HaTorah Azos Ad Tumam, he thought at the end of Vayelech that this would be the end of the Torah. But then he lapsed into this beautiful song. Seemingly this song is Divrei HaShira Azos, which on the surface certainly does not appear to be a song. It's more Tochacha. But he's putting everybody on notice the same way things that he predicts dire consequences for things that go wrong. He also says that the end is a pleasant one, and therefore the same way that bad things happen, good things happen, and that's how things will end. And we have to have that faith and that hope. But it's more interesting to see how orderly his mind is on the last day of his life. Normally you might think that somebody becomes a little scatterbrained or a little bit concerned with the last few minutes, not knowing exactly what to do, especially if you know that you only have a few hours left. What are you going to do now? But uncharacteristically for an average person, Moshe Rabbeinu was so orderly in his mind that the parasha begins in Hazinu with the reference to, we have the pasuk in Hazinu, Zechor Yemos Olam. And that pasuk is referenced to the Sheishis Yemei Bereishis. And we'll list them, and he does it in order, actually referencing each day of creation with a remez in the pasuk that's in Hazinu. And the first day, when it says Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabera V'Sishma Ha'oretzim Refi, that is Yom Rishon, is Bereishis Boro Elokim Es Hashemayim V'Esaretz. And Yom Sheni, very interestingly enough, he says, Yaroch kamotor lichi tizal katalim rosi kisirim alei desha. And that's what happened on day number two, Vayer vayivoke Yom Sheni. That's when the grass began to, that we see that happened in Sheishis Yemei Bereishis, was Yom Beis. Yom Shlishi, when it says, Tatsheho oretz desha, is the same thing over here, v'kirvivim alei Yosef. He says again in the parasha, Tashei Oretz Desha in Sheishis Yemei Bereishis. And Yom Revi is Zechor Yemos Olam. Zechor Yemos Olam is a reference to Vayu Liosos L'Moadim U'Liyomim V'Shonim. That's a reference to day number four. And Yom Chamishi is once again when the birds were created, and it says Kinesher Yo'ir Kino. And then for Yom Shishi, when the animals were created, it says Chemaz Bokor V'Chalev Tzon. He's thinking in a very orderly fashion, even though it's on his mind that he's about to leave this world. And that is why he is so beyond the human comprehension, that the parasha begins, as some of the Mefarshim tell us, it says Hazinu Hashemayim V'Adaber V'Sishma Oretzim Refi. And strangely enough, the word Hazinu means somebody who's very close to you. In other words, Hazinu Hashemayim, his head is really in the Shemayim, his head is in the heavens already. Although physically his feet are still on the ground, his mind is in the heavens. So Hazinu Hashemayim V'Adaber V'Sishma Ha'oretzim Refi. Sishma is from the distance, and he's distant from the earth already, as opposed to Yeshayahu when he says Shimi Shamayim Vazini Oretz, the heavens are far away, the way he terms that, the Sishma Oretz, is the, excuse me, Hazina Shemayim, he says that the heavens are far away and the earth is very close. Shimi Shemayim, Hazini Oret, he's still of this world, Yeshayahu. And it's a huge difference, and we juxtapose those two people. But nevertheless, we get to Moshe Rabbeinu, which brings up the next point. And the next point is all about potential. And with all of this on his mind, you would think at the end of the parsha, God has told Moshe numerous times already that you're not lochein lo saviu es almazeh. You're not going to be the one. You're not going into the land. You're not going to come into the land. Previously to this, God told Moshe, Areyes Oretz, he told him, Ale al haro avarim, go up, and I will give you that supervision to be able to see. Ureyes Oretz, you'll see it. Close your eyes and you will see. In this parsha, he says, Kimi neged tireas oretz. When you go up the mountain now from this vantage point, you will actually see the land in normal vision. You will be at this vantage point be able to see it. And it says something that you would think on the surface is very hurtful. And previously we've said, God said, Yan lo himantem bi lahagdisheni. And then he said also, Yan, he calls him, Asher lo kidashtem osi besok b'nei Yisrael. He tells him twice in Parshas Chukas where he hits the rock, and then once again in Parshas Pinchas when he says, Lochein lo saviu es ol mazeh. And now at the end of the parsha, the language changes into a third lashon of telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he's not taking the people into the land. And it's very interesting the word he used. It says, Asher mi al tem bi lahagdisheni. You were over on Me'ila. What is the Me'ila that Moshe Rabbeinu was over? And when I began to read this, Dvar Torah from Rav Moshe Feinstein, my first thought was perhaps Me'ila means using something from Hegdish, and therefore the Matzah was only allowed to be used for things that it was commanded to be used for. And since God said the Dibartem El Asela, hitting the rock was one extra time of using that the matzah that he wasn't supposed to use. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, very interestingly enough, the Me'ila is something that pertains to all of us. When we are born, everybody is bequeathed, bestowed upon him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu certain gifts. And when one abuses the gifts given to him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Moel Behegdish. I gave you this gift and you abused it. You did not do what I intended you to do with those gifts. You wasted your time. And we have a lot of time available to us that we do things that are not necessarily what we're supposed to do with it. And that's what we're dealing with, potential. And God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you were Moel, because initially you were destined to take the B'nai Yisrael by talking to this rock. That's all that was needed for you to reach your potential of taking B'nai Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, being their guiding light in the new land. And now when you hit the rock, you are showing you were Moel Behegdish. You downgraded your own status to the point where you were Moel in the gifts that I gave you. I gave you the ability to be this phenomenal person. And we see that in our lives. Are we fulfilling our potential? Are we realizing the things that we were meant to do? Or are we just letting the time pass? And I don't know if I mentioned it, but many years ago, one story was told about my aunt that the head of the Board of Education, I don't know if anybody remembers it so many years ago, Bernard Gifford was the vice president of the Board of Ed, and he told the story and said one teacher made an impression on his life. And he gave out a composition to be done, the whole class, and everybody, when she gave back the papers the next day, she said, I decided to do everyone a favor. I'm going to rip them all up because they weren't worth reading. For high school students, they were abominable, and there's only one person who wrote a composition, and the teacher gave him back his paper, Bernard Gifford, with a 95. And he was very pleased, of course, and everybody was told to write a new composition and hand it in. And he figured that, well, he got a 95, so he handed in the same composition. And the next day when the teacher returned, when my aunt returned all the papers to them, he got a 90. And he went over to the teacher after class and he says, I'm sorry, but I just don't get it. Yesterday you gave me a 95 on the same paper, and now I got a 90. And he said, she answered him and said, 95 is not 100. You could have done better. You got a 95. It's not 100. You could have improved it. You didn't even try. And Moshe Rabbeinu, imagine a person of the magnitude of Moshe Rabbeinu, God is telling him, Asher mi'al tembi. He did not get the ability to take the Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, the only thing that he wanted, because of the things that he did. So we've been given something that we have to do with our lives. And what's interesting about it is we have certain phrases that we use in the lexicon, in the Gemara many times, and it says, Kol kavuda bas melech penima. What does that phrase really mean? That sounds like on the surface it says that women should stay home. And the interesting part of that is a very important one. And he says what it means is the purpose of a woman staying home is going out into the outside world is corruption par excellence. It brings everyone down to see what's going on. If you're growing up as a true Torah Jew, it's very difficult when you're bombarded with all of these distractions that go on in the world, with the corruption that we see, with all the things that we see in the news and read every day and see on the, you know, turn on the radio or turn on the TV or whatever we get it from, the newspapers, and it's corruption. And we want at least somebody who's home bringing up the children. Somebody has to be uncorrupted to raise the children. But if so, then what about the husbands? They go out and they have to, he said, somebody, but somebody has to earn a living. And the husbands go out in the workforce, he says, and yes, and they are corrupted. And that's why we need at least one person to stay home who are raising the children. And as the young adults at 2 and 3 years old who are putting the children to bed, getting them to kiss the mezuzah and Shema Yisrael, more often than not, it's going to be the mother. And she has to be the one to not let things go, because it's her responsibility if she's home and not corrupted. Today, of course, in the two-income family, that's become more difficult. But generally speaking, when the children are that young, we hope that that is what the woman's role will be, or somebody's role at least, who stays home and is the parent to raise the children without corruption. And that's why what we say when we say Shema Koleinu, there's another very interesting pasuk that we say when it says Al Tashlichenu, not Liye Zikna, but when it says Al Tashlichenu, V'ruach Kotshecha Al Tikach Mimenu. Ruach Kotshecha means what? Ruach Kotshecha means each Jew is born with Ruach HaKodesh. We say Chacham Adif Minavi. The Gemara tells us one other phrase. And what does that really mean? Each Jew is born with Ruach HaKodesh. And as the Gemara says, we each have Ruach HaKodesh when we name our children. The Gemara speculates that point or says that each person is imbued with that. But basically he says, we have as Jews, certainly we've had Nevi'im. By the Goyim, they had their Nevi'im as well. The difference is the Nevi'im by the Goyim had no Ruach HaKodesh. And that is a whole different problem in the world. There are people who see things, but if you're not born with the Ruach HaKodesh that God imbues a Jew with, it's a different story. He sees things and he can appreciate. From being a born Jew is a very different scenario. Of course, those who are Gerim certainly get it, but once you become a Jew, you get that spark, that is that Ruach HaKodesh, that you're brought into the fold, and you have a different appreciation for things that go on in the world. And V'ruach Kotshecha, We have different ways of expressing ourselves. There are people that go through trials and tribulations, and Ruach Kodeshecha Al Tikach Mimenu, what does that mean? It's saying that some people go through tremendous difficulties, challenges in life, but Ruach Kodeshecha Al Tikach Mimenu, don't let me get to the point where I say, there is no God. If this is what's happening to me, I've been doing the right thing and there is no God. Don't let that happen to me. Ruach Kodeshecha Al Tikach Mimenu, don't take that away from me. I want to keep that spirit alive in me that God gave me when I was born so that I can attain my potential. This is critical before Yom Kippur to think that we have the Aseres Yimei Tshuva now, and that is what we're able to do. God said, Yimtzo'eyu be'eretz midbar, I found you in the desert, whether it means before or after Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is Machlokes, but I found you in the midbar. I gave you the Torah. You were a destitute people of slaves, and look what you've become. You have become my people, and I will back you all the way. And what we say, this Shira, what is the Shira? Shira is Bigmatria 515, the same as Tefillah, the same as West Hanan. It's very interesting that Shira and Tefillah are the same 515. These things are not happenstance. And it tells us that the songs that we sing, even in Vayelech and Hazinu, which are tremendous Tochacha, the Shira is that the Gula Shalema will come. May it come this year. May we all have a wonderful year. May we all be Zocha to see the Gula Shalema. Have a wonderful week and have a very meaningful Yom Kippur. Thank you.